Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Current open supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them, because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And our phone number is 855-853-4802. Share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can also email your audio file if you'd like to record on your intelligent smart device. Do send that to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories to us. I feel like I have to, like, expel gastrous things from my mouth,
yeah, and other
gastric things from otherwise burp.
Okay,
for lack of a better term, and then right when you feel it, it doesn't happen.
I know.
So there you go. I ate some pizza right before the show. Mm-hmm. I had a slice, and it's like all I've eaten all day. So it's like my body's like, ooh, food, and then
you
must now expel gas.
You shouldn't do that. You need to eat more often.
I had like a little snack thing before. I had a couple cashews.
Uh-huh.
That's about it.
Okay.
But there you go. I know. I just get busy and I don't even think. I don't even like, I don't get, you know, like they always say, like, eat when you're hungry.
Uh-huh.
It's rare that I'm hungry.
Okay.
It really, I mean, like, unless I like, if I haven't eaten anything all day, yes, by about 5 o'clock at night, I will be hungry. But I can go like a whole day.
You're much better at staying hydrated though.
Yeah.
Than I am or even the girls, because you drink a huge, like, you know, big gulp cup of water.
Like 4 times a day.
Yeah, yeah. So I hear that sometimes when people are hungry, they're actually just thirsty and they don't realize it.
It's probably it. A lot. I mean, I keep a cup with me at all times and I'm always drinking water. But, I mean, it's rare where it's like, oh, I feel like I really need a snack. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. just more like, if I have a snack around, I'll eat it because it's there.
Sure.
So whatever I put around me, I try to make sure it's like a somewhat decent choice.
That's good.
And then I just kind of at some point go, I should probably eat something. I haven't eaten anything all day. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you know,
they're going to get headaches.
Exactly. I do get headaches mm-hmm. sometimes. So there you go. But I wish I had that more of the, I'm hungry. I should eat a little something and then I'm sufficed and I'm good. It's just, I don't get the signal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's how it works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Bailey, and I'm from South Louisiana. Well, one summer, a couple years ago, I have some family that moved to Virginia. So me, my sister, and my grandparents went to stay up there for the month to visit them. And my aunt had recently got married to someone who was from Virginia, so that's part of the reason they moved up there. Well, his sister had died a few years ago, and I never met her. But my cousins had. And one morning while we were staying there, my uncle had got up, and he said, yeah, he had to turn the shower off at 4:30 in the morning because it turned on by itself. And they made a little joke, oh, that's just Aunt Vicky, you know, and they laughed about it. Well, me and my cousin, being the big nerds we are, we love all the ghost shows and paranormal hunting and all that stuff. We decided to stay up that night and do a little investigating. So everyone was in bed or asleep or whatever, and it was kind of late. So on Ghost Adventures, you know, they do like the flashlight test where they turn the flashlight off and they ask questions and they see if it turns on. So me and my cousin had that in mind, and we had a recording going on our phone. So we put the flashlight on the table, and neither of us would buy it at all. And we had a video camera recording the whole time. And, you know, we're just talking, asking questions, pretty much just playing around because we didn't think anything would happen. Well, we asked another question, and it turned on. Like, and we have that on video. So we showed everyone the next morning, and no one even believed us, but we know what we saw, and neither of us touched that flashlight. It was the craziest thing. So to this day, we both believe that either their aunt still hangs around, or maybe it's something else in that house. But that flashlight definitely turned on by itself, and there's no way it was either one of us, even though no one believed us, but we still believe it. So I kind of just want to hear what you guys have to say about that, and are we really just fooling ourselves into believing something was there, or was it just faulty equipment? Well, I love you guys' show. I listen to it all the time. And yeah, I just wanted to call in and tell y'all about my experience. Bye, guys.
I think sometimes the simplest of things when it comes to prove you're a ghost, prove you're there, can be the most powerful.
Yeah, and if, you know, if it were just the flashlight incident and they hadn't had the shower turn on in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. I'd say maybe it was just, you know, a fluke. But sure. I think there's something going on there. And if it's harmless, I don't see any problem in thinking it's the aunt. But if it's starting to do other things, then maybe it's not.
It's like, hey, I see the aunt, the full body apparition, but it's weird. She has her left leg is in reversed, you know.
Yeah.
That's where we get like that, where it's like it looks like somebody, but there's something not quite right about them. Creepy stuff. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I don't normally give shout outs on the show, but I got a message on Facebook today from a radio friend of mine that I worked with 20 years ago back in Wisconsin, literally like at the beginning of everything. And he says, hey, I just found out my adult son is a big fan of your ghost podcast.
Well, that's
so
cool.
His name is Sam Bond. So a shout out to Sam. Appreciate it. His dad, Scott, is who I used to work with years ago. And Scott's a pretty funny guy. He had all sorts of amazing skills. And this is back, I remember when, you know, barely when there wasn't much internet around, even at the radio stations. He had the skill of he could pick up a fax machine. Phone, because you know you pick up the receiver on the fax and dial it, and if I remember right, he would make the fax machine noise to whoever he was dialing to, and it would trigger the other fax machine to like do stuff. Now I don't know that it printed anything legible, but it still it received it as if it was a real transmission, and he did it with his voice.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was good times back in Fondy radio days. So so thanks. Thank you, Scott, for letting me know about your son Sam listening. Appreciate that, Sam, listening very much. It's funny when I hear these things where it's like, my adult children like your show. These are people I remember as being very young. And in some cases, I remember their children when they were very young.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, oh, my gosh, there's people that have. They're adults now. And these were just my friend, Lori, who I worked with for a while. And she's in Atlanta now, over at CNN, and her daughter, Ashley, who I remember, like she was three, locked me out of the studio one day. Mm-hmm. And she was just playing around the station, and we had to like get the, I think we like broke the door down to get into the studio because we're doing a live sports cast. And I just like walked down the hall for a second to grab something out of the office. And she's like on the other side. She locked it and then came back. And there was no way to get it unlocked. There wasn't a key to it. So we had to get the door like busted out to get back in there. So there wasn't dead air.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see pictures of her on Facebook now. And it's like, you know, mid 20s. It's like, my God, what happened?
Well, even
people grow up.
You're not very old. You've been in your industry since you were 14.
Granted, a lot of these memories I have, I was like 14, 15 at the time.
Which is very unusual. So you've sure. got a whole career span and you're going to be 35. So
yeah,
that's really unusual. And I think that doesn't help you make, it doesn't help in making you feel young. It makes you feel old.
It makes my perspective older than it should be.
And I think some of our listeners mistakenly think you're older than you are because you talk about being in radio for so long.
Sure, sure. I mean, a lot of times the things I remember in working in the mid, you know, 96 is when I started in radio. So, you know, mid 90s, a lot of other people our age were, you know, playing Pogs.
Yeah. So, or Hacky Sack.
Exactly. And I was, you know, programming a station. So, yeah, it's a weird perspective. Anyway, thanks for that message. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. My name is Nicole. I am calling from Michigan. I'm a new listener, but I felt compelled to call and share my story. The story is about 10 years old. It happened to myself and my two young daughters. In December of 2006, my mother and my youngest brother were murdered, both of which were very, very close to my daughter, my oldest daughter, who at the time was a year and a half. I don't remember exact timelines, but I know that it was very soon after their death. I lived in a townhome with my children, and going up the stairs one night, their bedroom was to the left at the end of the hall, and out of the corner of my eye coming up the top of the stairs, I swore I saw a white figure in their bedroom. Scared the crap out of me. So, for probably at least a year, we did not sleep upstairs, but shortly after that had happened and we'd been sleeping down on the couch in the living room, I was at the house alone with my kids, and their dad had just come over and left. I was sitting on the couch, which was like directly in front of the front door, but at least 25 feet away from it. And I'm sitting there with my 1.5-year-old and my 3-month-old. And my 1.5-year-old starts, like, waving at the front door. And she's saying, bye, bye, Nana, bye. And she says it several times. And these are the names that she would call my mom and my little brother. And so I am sitting there trying to stare so hard and intently, trying to figure out or see what it is that she's seeing, because she's staring at the front door and waving and telling my mom and my boo are dead. And I didn't see anything. Actually, their dad ended up coming back through the door and scared the living crap out of me. But to this day, I honestly feel like my mom and my brother wanted to say goodbye to their grandbaby and their niece one last time. And that is my story. Thanks. Hope you play it.
I think sometimes when people are, you know, killed very unexpectedly or very quickly, I think that maybe raises your chance of having them stick around for a while. Because it's like they've got their unfinished business and they want to say their goodbyes. Whereas if you know you're dying and you're getting up there, you kind of maybe think about saying your goodbyes when you're still alive.
I think it's that, and I wonder if sometimes there's this confusion of, am I dead?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's some of that sometimes where they don't even realize they're gone. They're confused for a certain amount of time. I think there's a mixture of all that goes on. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share yours experiences yours with us.
Wow.
Yours. It's a new word. It's like y'all, but
no, it's not.
Yours.
No.
It's not yours. Yours. I invented a new conjunction word that's going to be unique to a certain part of the country. Now, I have to choose where I want this to,
yeah, it ain't
to
here.
Be implemented. Yours is?
Not here.
Or yours?
I think that's the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time.
It almost kind of sounds northern. And it's not to say that, but it kind of has, yeah, there, yeah. Yours, I think maybe already is northern.
Well.
Saw that 30-point buck over at yours house.
Okay. I think it sounds less dumb when it's because of an accent.
Yeah.
So when you're just stuttering and stumbling over words.
That I saw that 30-point buck over at yours house.
No.
Where the rest of the sentence sounds without an accent, but then suddenly it just goes to it.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I don't know if anybody's going to adopt that one, like y'all. I bet the first time somebody said y'all, they're like, what the hell? Why are you saying it like that? And then somebody else quietly in the corner was like, I like that too. I'm going to start using it secretly. And then it started... It just kind of grew from there.
I have no idea how long people have been saying y'all.
The y'all club. Yeah. I wonder if you looked up y'all, is there like a Wikipedia entry for y'all?
I don't know.
The history of y'all. It originated in a cafe. I don't know. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Holly from Kentucky. I'm originally from Idaho. When I was little, I swallowed a nickel, being the dumb kid I was. And so it was like an inch away from being over my windpipe. So we went into the emergency room, and when we were waiting to get it removed, I for years had assumed that I was waiting in the room to be put under. And there was a lady in pink in there with me, and we were just talking. I think I was maybe 4 years old, and she told me everything would be okay. She was super comforting, but she was in a pink gown. Well, for years, I had just kind of kept it to myself and assumed that she was just another patient. And then when I talked to my mother, who grew up with quite a few health issues, she told me whenever she would go in for surgery, not all the time, but she would see a lady in pink. And we talked about it, and she basically looked the same for both of us, kind of an oval face, long, pretty brown hair. But she was always wearing pink. And she had always been really comforting to my mother before her surgeries as well. So I don't know if her guardian angel passed on to me or what that could be, but I kind of thought it would be a cool story to share. Thank you. Enjoy your day. Bye.
I think maybe sometimes guardian angels watch entire families, not just people.
Sure. Like Touched by an Angel and Highway to Heaven.
But not as stupid.
You just insulted a lot of people that really loved Highway to Heaven and Touched by an Angel. Which I think Highway to Heaven is on Hulu now. I saw it on something the other day. It's like suggested TV shows. Highway to Heaven. My mom loved that show.
Yeah.
Watched it all the time.
I don't know that that was as stupid as Touched by an Angel. I've never watched Highway to Heaven.
It wasn't bad from what I remember. I mean, granted, I was like five when I watched it. But, Touched by an Angel, I don't think I ever really watched a full episode of Touched by an Angel, so it's difficult for me to say this was a dumb show, and I shouldn't say that. But I can say whoever put together the promos for that show made it look pretty stupid.
That's why I never wanted to watch
it. It was like they made them about as cheesy as it could possibly be and really just appealing to, like one very specific demographic and nobody else. And that's a shame because, I mean, you could really do that with almost any show. If you edit it up correctly in 30 seconds, you can make a show look one way or the other. And so I'm wondering if it actually was a decent show, but I just never attempted to watch it because the promos were horrific.
I just didn't like it. I watched it some. I didn't like it.
I was at the age where anything, when that show came out, where anything that sounded remotely inappropriate was hilarious. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the title of the show just sounded funny. You know, at the same time, you know, you say at that age, boob, and you're going to be like, you know, anything, you know, of that nature when you're 13 or 12 and you're discovering words that are you know, insinuating something.
Okay.
Even though that's not insinuating anything on the show, you're going to take it and run with it the opposite direction.
Wow.
It's where you're a little boy. It's like, your mind's in the gutter. Yes, it is. I'm 12.
Wow. That's
how that works. So there you go.
You still giggle at boobs.
I do sometimes. You're right. I like to put it in calculators. 8008. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Robert from Utah calling. It's been quite a while since I called. I told you guys before about my experiences working at a Army depot in Oregon. And I am an EPP. Great move. I look forward to the email with the episode every Friday. Anyhow, okay, so this is, I'm going to tell you, I left that place in 2009. We moved out here to Utah. And we rented a house kind of sight unseen. We didn't see it in person. We rented it over the internet through a local website. And so we moved in. And, of course, you know, being the new guy at the base out here, I was put on night shift. And and of course, and we got kids. So for the kids to live their lives, you know, be kids and whatever, when I'd go to sleep after work, I'd wear earplugs and like a sleeping mask and, you know, have the room as dark as I could. And I don't know how long this had been going on, but sometime or the other, I started noticing that maybe not every day, but often somebody would come in and sit on the end of the bed on my wife's side. You know, I could feel that. And it had gone on for a while. And then I asked her one day if it was her, and she told me no, maybe with like one or two exceptions where she sat at the head of the bed, it was not her. And sometime in November, something had taken place with like one of her adult kids and stuff. And she ended up going back to Oregon for a while. And of course, taking our girls with. And we kind of knew it's going to take a while. But because we pulled them out of school and didn't want to do that again, we had decided that they were going to stay just until the end of the school year, at least, you know, come what may. And so then I'm there in the house by myself, okay? And this was a single-story house with a full basement downstairs, which we actually underused because we just stored stuff in there. It was a daylight basement. It was pretty awesome. It was huge. But anyhow, so I noticed I would come home in the morning, and I'd hear pounding and stuff, like doors. And there were only two doors down there, but I would hear doors open and shut, or, you know, slamming. One door was like to a room that the people whom we rented from had been making down there. The other end was just wide open. And the other one was the room to where like the water heater and the HVAC unit, stuff like that were. But so, and of course, I go down there and check, and there's nothing. And one time I even forgot and left. I turned on the light for I don't know what reason, because it was pretty light down there. And I turned on the light and forgot to turn it off. And then when I got up in the evening, the doors were slamming again or whatever. And I went down there and noticed I left on the light. So, but anyhow, though, had that going on. And then as soon as I'd lay down, I'd notice that there'd be footsteps up and down, because from the living room there, and the basement was just kind of like right there. You had a little railing. And no door, no anything, and just there was the basement, the stairs that led down. And then there was like a little hallway, and that's where the rooms were. But at this time, I wasn't wearing the earplugs anymore and stuff, and of course, you know, keeping the door open because the kids were not there. There was nobody there but me. So, I noticed, though, as soon as I would lay down, that there'd be footsteps up and down inside of that hallway, and just kind of pacing back and forth and pacing back and forth. And sometimes it sounded like, I mean, there was actually somebody in the house, you know, but the footsteps would go up, and sometimes it was just bad enough to where like, oh, it wouldn't let me sleep because, you know, and I'd hear, there were times too that I heard, it sounded like somebody coming, they were in the house, they were coming in that room or whatever, and, you know, and I would sleep with a firearm under the pillow, just in case. And there were a few times that I'd sit up and stuff with my hand on that weapon, just in case it was a real person, and it wasn't. But and I felt ridiculous one evening. There were times it was bad, but with the noises, so the walking up and down the hall and whatever. But and kind of felt ridiculous. But one evening it must have been a bad day because I got up pretty early in the evening, and it was still daylight. And you know, and I sort of addressed this thing, and I just told it, look, okay, you know, when I come home, you got to let me sleep. You know, it's like I'm not sleeping in the daytime because I'm being lazy or whatever. Because it's like, and I said, you know, I know you got to be here at night as well. And so you see me put on the uniform and get ready to go to work, you know, which really that didn't help. Didn't stop it or anything. But, and I was touched a couple of times. It was one day because after my wife was gone and stuff, I started sleeping on her side of the bed, you know, because I missed her. But so I'm sleeping there, and I felt a hand on my leg. And what's funny, it wasn't like cold and whatever that people say. It felt electric almost. It was tingly. And that was just kind of weird. And, of course, made me jump. And then there was another time, you know, I'm sleeping on her side of the bed. My side was the other side there. And, you know, when you're laying down and you bump your partner and kind of move away because you don't want to disturb them. Well, I'm laying down and I felt that. There was somebody in the bed. They bumped me. And so I kind of jumped. And, oh, my God, I was tired. It must have been that night must have been my Monday. Because usually on my Mondays, by the time I go to bed, I've been up like 24 hours. So I didn't even look over. I just said, look, I'm tired. I got to sleep. Stay on your side of the bed and leave me the hell alone. And so I even told my wife, and she didn't take it serious because nobody else had experienced anything. But I did tell her about, you know, what with the footsteps going up and down the hall and whatever. And one of the final incidents. Okay, and I play guitar. I'm left-handed. I won't tell you I'm good at it, but I did find for years I've just like Jimi Hendrix taken that basic Fender body style and turned it over and played because a left-handed guitar is expensive. But I found a site that had cheap ones, so I bought one, and I had it, and it was sitting in the living room. And one day I got up. God, I must have got up awful early, because usually when I'd get up, I'd have to have coffee and, you know, get myself together and whatever before really I did anything. And but this was still daylight. So I get up and I'm going to play my guitar a little bit, you know, to just kind of screw around. And as I'm down there plugging the cord in to the amplifier, I hear footsteps run up that hallway. I saw like a flash of something reflected in the microwave, and then I heard the door that leads from the kitchen to the garage open and slam shut. Now, actually, whether it actually did or not, I don't know, but I heard that. And all I could tell it was, fine, be that way then. You know, I didn't think that was that bad. But, and then short time after that, probably 3 months or so, the people who owned the house, because they had moved to Colorado for something, but they had come and they told us, because they still had stuff down in the basement, but they came and told us that for whatever reason, they were just going to let the bank take it back. So they were giving us time enough so that we could move and find somewhere else. And so, and I talked to them about different things. Bad thing is, I never talked to them about that. Or if they had anything going on. But, okay, so I guess that's all with that for now. Thanks for the show, guys, and keep up the good work. Bye.
With them letting the bank take it back, it makes you wonder if they could only rent it out and they didn't want to live there.
They already realized it was a stigmatized property.
Well, I don't know about stigmatized, but maybe there was something there that was bothering them, too.
They suspected there was something in the house that was bothering them, too.
Okay.
Okay. I'm like one of those parrots, you know, that you say something to that says it back in a real like, and something was bothering them too.
Yeah.
They should make a doll that looks like the guy from Dateline that repeats your sentences back in the creepy Dateline-esque way.
That poor guy. I hope he never listens to our show. And here's how many times you reference him in his voice.
I like to eat ice cream with sprinkles on. It tastes delicious. I like to eat ice cream with sprinkles on. It tastes delicious.
Why is that a questioning statement?
Exactly. Half of the stuff you hear on that show is like, that's really not a question, the way that the sentence is ending.
Yeah.
But that's how it works. Be a great... I would buy one. I'd buy one for every room of the house.
Uh-huh.
I would replace
It'd be like
Alexa.
Billy Bass, right?
No, replace Alexa. I wouldn't even need music or anything. I would just be saying weird things just to. But I could see the Billy Bass reference. Yeah. Would it like move too? Like the head just kind of nods.
And the eyebrows go up.
That'd be a great little tchotchke that NBC could make some money on and sell.
Yeah.
Be great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another call. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Morgan Rabbits again. I called a couple months ago. My story was the one I lived in a haunted house with my mom and her boyfriend. The toilets would flush at the same time every night, and there was you could see like figures in my brother's bedroom. My toy chest was being up and down. And then my mom and her boyfriend, saw a light shining through their window one night that was coming from nowhere. And my mom heard the woman screaming. So that kind of helps you remember. And to answer your question about that you asked a while ago, my mom was the only one that heard the woman screaming that night, but both my mom and her boyfriend could see the light coming through the window, but again, they couldn't find where the light was coming from or find the woman. And I do wonder if they just had different levels of sensitivity, or I also have wondered if for some reason the spirit of the woman screaming chose my mother for some reason. Both I've thought of, I'd have to ask her what she thinks. Anyways, last time I mentioned that I had some Ellis Island stories. I have more like Ellen Island story, Ellis Island story, just one. I was there in 2010 with a group of friends from high school. We went as a graduation present to each other, and they were giving us a tour of the island and letting us into some of those buildings that are currently run down and not being used. And they showed us into one room that looked like it was for medical examination. And the room was very bare. It was just like tile walls and tile floor. Had some like old rusted drain spots. Had some stains on the floor that looked like maybe once upon a time it could have been blood, could have been other medical liquids. I'm not sure which one. And then... it had one, like, old table, like, one metal table in there. And then it had, like, a few just random things lying around. Like, they obviously hadn't really touched anything since it had been cleared out and abandoned. And I just remember feeling this presence of sadness. Also, I felt a little bit terrified, and, like, something was watching me. And out of the corner of my eye, I could just see, it felt like I could see shadows moving. And they would only do it when I would just barely notice them, and then I'd look, and then it would be gone. But it kind of followed me through our whole tour, it felt especially strong in that room. And I remember the tour guide was telling us about how, you know, a lot of people died from their illnesses there, that they weren't treated very well in the first place. And some weren't really treated at all. And so I was just wondering, I thought to myself that maybe it had something to do with that. And then towards the end of our tour, you know, he mentioned how some people believe that these places were haunted because of the many people that came through them, and how people claim that they've seen shadows move out of the corner of their eye or felt uneasy and that just kind of rang a bell to me because I was like, oh, that's just what I experienced. But I didn't really say anything to anyone except a couple of my friends that were with me. And a lot of them said that they maybe felt uneasy or that they thought it was just creepy, but I don't know if I heard anyone see if they saw anything move out of the corner of their eye. I'd like to go back again, take my husband and visit and see if I experienced the same things, but it definitely left a memorable impression on me. It's a story I tell often to my husband, and I called my mom right away and was like, Mom, guess what? And then, as I mentioned, so that's my Ellis Island. So, Jenny, I hope that kind of makes you feel better that you're not the only one who experiences those things on Ellis Island. And then I have a couple experiences just working in theater. I'm a set designer and scenic artist. My first theater company I worked for, they had a ghost story of a guy who died or was killed when they got in a drunken fight with another actor over a part they were arguing over, something like that. Rumor has it the other actor killed him and then buried him under the floor to hide the body after they got into a fight. And so I'm not sure how true that is. They even said if you say, like if you do a certain thing at midnight on the stage, you'll see the ghost of the man sitting in his favorite seat. Not sure how true that is either. I never tried it. One thing, there were a few things that happened that did convince me there was something paranormal, though. One was my first day there. I was in the green room, or the break room, and I was talking with a few people, and I noticed something peer around the corner and then go back down, and it was where the dressing rooms were, and I had asked someone who that was, and someone said, who are you talking about? And I said, oh, there was a guy that appeared around the corner. And they're like, we're the only ones down here. I'm like, no, we're not. So we walked down to the dressing room, and there was no one there. And I guess in the early days of that theater, the dressing rooms were unfinished, and I think it was more of a storage facility down there. So the floors used to be dirt, is what they told me. So I guess there may have been the possibility someone could have been buried down there, but again, not sure how true it was. But I did feel a little creeped out after seeing that shadow. Another thing is, I don't like being in that building by myself. I get an eerie feeling anytime I'm down in the basement by myself or in the building at all. I've seen lights flicker on and off. I've heard loud thumps and noises happen. I've had a lot of friends experience things. There's one time I was there by myself and I was painting a set, and I heard a big commotion in the area where we had our paint shelf, and some things had fallen off the shelf, but I'm not sure how they had, because there was nothing there to knock them down or off. And these weren't things that were already falling off the shelf. These things were placed, you know, neatly and orderly and securely on the shelf, and they had fallen off. Needless to say, I picked them up really quick, stuffed them back on the shelf, and then ran out of there as fast as I could. I also experienced a friend of mine who was an electrician. We had a trick mirror for a show that if you lit it up, you could see someone's face behind the mirror. And he was installing the mirror. He hadn't even hooked up the lights to it yet. And as he was installing the mirror, so there's no way he could have seen anyone's face behind the mirror, he looked into the mirror, and instead of seeing his own face, he saw the face of a man staring back at him. And this electrician was a really big guy, and I've never seen anyone run so fast. And he just, next thing we knew, he'd screamed and jumped off the stage and was running. And this was a grown man. I mean, he was in his, I'm guessing, like, somewhere between his, like, early and mid-30s. And I just never seen anyone react that way before. And he refused to look in a mirror after that, and so did I for a little bit. Creepy stuff. Not sure how true the myth behind the paranormal activity is, but I do believe there is some sort of ghost there. And then at the theater, I worked at recently, before moving to Connecticut, I worked for an opera and musical theater company. a friend and I were locking up our building, the theater, and there's a tie line that we hook between the proscenium of the stage so that no one falls into the orchestra pit. And then we put a ghost light out to show, hey, this is a safety thing, be aware of your surroundings. So we hooked this yellow tie line, and it was very tight. You could pull it with your finger, and it would just recoil and bounce. And so it was very tight, and so it was obviously there for a safety measure. I mean, if you stood on the thing, it would just snap right back. So we'd closed the tie line. We were checking everything, and him and I just had both turned around just in time to see the tie line go down as if someone was standing on it or pulling down on it, and then it sprung up, and it was all by itself. And the legend with that theater is it did catch fire once upon a time, and they said a little girl had died in the fire when the theater caught fire. And there are news reports and stuff about it. So I kind of believe that story, but I didn't want to believe that the theater was actually haunted. I thought that was a little cliche because it seems like every theater is haunted. But after seeing that, me and my friend, we booked it out of there. And my husband and niece were in the theater at that time too. And we grabbed them and we were by the door. We're like, get out now. And it was just so scary. I, from now, like after that, I definitely was a lot more aware of my surroundings. And I always felt a little bit creepy there at night and sometimes in certain parts of the day, but I tried not to pay attention to it. My friend who experienced that with me had also said that there were times where he could hear like a little girl laughing, or he would hear things bang or see lights flick on and off. So when he was left to close up the building by himself, he said he would stick headphones in and just go as fast as he could, and he refused to look into any mirrors or even look behind him. He would just make it in a certain order so that he ended at the door, flipped off the light, walked out the door and locked it behind him because he was too afraid of what he might see, especially after our experience. Those are a couple more stories I have. I do have more, but I'll save those for another time. Hope to hear this on the show. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're still recovering well after your surgery, Tony. I love the show. I love being caught up. Just loving everything about it. Thank you for doing this again, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. Have a good day.
Sensitive person there or just regular person who happens to be in a lot of haunted locations?
I think she's sensitive because there's plenty of people, I'm sure, that like Ellis Island, go mm-hmm. to Ellis Island and don't feel anything other than, oh, there's a lot of history here.
Sure.
But it sounds like she had a very similar experience to me where she was just, it makes your skin crawl. You just feel the fear in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about that when you go there. You don't think about all the fear mm-hmm. that people had, but if you're sensitive, you can definitely feel it.
I agree. Lots of stories there. Thank you for sharing all of those with us. We do greatly appreciate that. Here's, it's not necessarily a ghost story, but it's unexplained and people are very confused by it. In Deerfield Beach, Florida, mm-hmm. the other night, family, 4 a.m., hear a huge thud on their roof. They have no idea what it is. They're concerned. They go out. They don't really see anybody around there or anything, but they heard that thud, so they think, well, there's something. Check out the roof, mm-hmm. you know? And on the roof is 15 pounds of frozen Italian sausage.
How does that even happen?
They don't know. They can't figure it out. And it was in it's like white packaging. And there was a name printed on the bag said Williams Land Service, which was traced back to a land surveying company in Alabama. Keep in mind, this happened in Florida. And the land surveying company is like, oh, yeah, I have no idea. It's not ours. I don't know why it's in this bag, but it's not ours.
Uh-huh.
We didn't come to your house at 4 a.m. and drop meat on your house.
Wow.
And so they're kind of stunned. They can't figure out how it got there, why it got there. Was it a prank, a kid or something, flinging Italian sausage on roofs at 4 a.m.? I don't know. The one theory that seems to make a little bit of sense is was someone carrying it with a drone?
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe did it drop? I don't know. I mean, it just seems a little crazy. They're completely befuddled as to why 15 pounds of Italian sausage dropped on somebody's roof at 4 a.m.
I'm not very strong, but to me, it sounds like 15 pounds would be really hard to throw up onto a roof, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like chucking a bowling ball onto a roof.
Yeah.
You know, and a heavy bowling ball at that.
Uh-huh.
It's not, more, you know, on average, you know, like maybe 11 pounds, you know, is the highest you want to go a lot of times on a bowling ball, unless you're like really strong. But yeah, it would. And think of that.
Yeah.
Try and get that thing airborne, you know, more than just getting it out to the...
Like, I use the kid balls because I suck at bowling and I have no strength and I couldn't chunk one of those up on a roof.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Unsolved mysteries. It'd be great. Wouldn't it be great to hear Robert Stack talking about that one?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's like the next Unsolved, then he's really creepy about it. Like, the mystery meat. That's the title of the segment on Unsolved Mysteries when we bring Robert Stack back from the dead.
Uh-huh.
Can't wait for that episode. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's episode. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the program, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. Only $5 a month. Get all the access to every single bonus episode we've ever done. Brand new ones every single week. Exclusive video content and more. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.